1.2 billion people in an election with global economic impact.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. India is preparing for a new prime minister, and the change of power has major implications for the economy there and investors around the world. Early election returns show Narendra Modi and his party set to win in a landslide. The BBC's Yogita Lamai is in front of Mumbai's Stock Exchange, where shares are up. Hello, Yogita.
Hi.
So what were the big economic issues for voters in this election?
Economic issues were at the heart of this election. Every time we asked voters what was the big factor on their mind when they were going out to polling booths, two of the things we heard most often was price rise. People were worried particularly about food prices, which were very high for much of last year. And the second thing, a lot of young people told us, and this time there were a lot of new young voters under the age of 25, and they were worried about getting jobs. Because given that India has been undergoing an economic slowdown in the past 1 or 2 years, as employment generation has been hit. So I think those were the top issues for voters in India.
And you're outside the stock market in Mumbai right now. We saw it rally when the early returns started to come in. What is it about Modi and his party that has investors excited?
Well, throughout their campaign, their main pitch has been, economic reforms. And it seems overwhelmingly that voters have bought into that, given the election result today, which seems to be clearly indicating that the BJP, Mr. Narendra Modi's party, will form the next government and, will not need to convince any other allies. They have a clear majority to do so.
The BBC's Yogita Lamai. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are largely down in global trading. In the UK, down 0.3%. German stocks down about 0.2% and 1.6% in France. Asian markets closed mixed, with India's stock market up, as we mentioned. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P dropped 0.9%, ending at 1870. The Dow lost 1%, finishing at 16,446.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. By United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions. Online at UHC.com. And by Emerald Data Solutions, makers of Board Docs and hosts of eGov Live, the conference for best practices in electronic governance, September 3rd through 5th, boarddocs.com.
A new study finds a surprising pattern as to the way benefits to the poor are given out in America. It's from Johns Hopkins economics professor Robert Moffitt, who crunched welfare numbers over several decades and joins us now. Hello, Robert.
Nice to talk to you.
For simplicity, let's focus on two groups, what we'll call the poor and the very poor. In your research, what did you find that was different about what these two groups of people are getting?
Well, to my surprise, even though we would think that the government would support the very poorest of the poor more than you would support those who were at least a little bit better off, I found just the opposite. The amount of support that the government is giving has actually risen for those over $10,000, but actually declined for those less than $10,000.
Now, in studies of poverty, we sometimes hear the phrase the deserving poor. If you can just explain what that means and how that seems to play into what you've found about who's getting welfare benefits and how much they're getting.
The deserving poor is used to describe how voters and society view the deservingness of some families and not others. The emphasis on work has always been present in American society. I think that emphasis has really increased over the past 30 years, but I think they view families that aren't working as undeserving, and I think that is the cause of the decline in support for those various poor that we've observed.
Knowing that there's only so much money to go around, what do you think should be done for what, in this case, we're kind of simplifying and calling the very poor Americans?
Well, I certainly would never want to reduce the support for any of the groups, but I think we need some programs that will help the families at the bottom who are making attempts to succeed. For example, if a family wishes to make an effort and under undergo a training program to increase their skills and earn more. We should certainly expand those programs, but we also should support those families for an even short term with a little bit of cash just to tide them over and avoid the desperate situations they're in. We really haven't made enough of an effort in that direction.
Okay, Robert Moffitt from Johns Hopkins, thanks so much for giving us some insight into what are some tricky questions.
Thank you.
We'll talk more about these issues next week. David Brancaccio will host from the BBC studios in London with stories on how income inequality plays out in the UK. For a preview of the trip, check out marketplace.org. Now, we have so many ways to compare prices and get reviews when we shop online. But when it comes to healthcare, we're practically in the dark. A group called the Healthcare Cost Institute is trying to change that by posting price and quality data from insurers United Health, Aetna, and Humana. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports on their attempt to bring comparison shopping to healthcare.
If your doctor prescribes a pill or procedure, you probably have no idea what it'll cost. Health economist Steve Parenti hopes that will change with the Healthcare Cost Institute's website.
The ideal scenario is that it almost gives you an active stock ticker of exactly what conditions are moving in what directions and their costs.
Parenti's chair of the group's board. He says price information is more critical to consumers than ever as out-of-pocket medical costs continue to soar. But it could also help insurers hold down costs if, let's say, the guy with the bum knee decides to skip pricey elective knee surgery. Here's Tom Beauregard of United Health.
It's really a way, you know, at sort of the highest level to create a more efficient system with an informed consumer at the center of it.
The big question: will consumers be able to use this information to get a better deal? I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And finally, the expiration dates on your food may be hurting the planet. The European Union says Best Buy dates are causing people to throw away perfectly good food. Researchers say up to half the food that gets to market is wasted. The EU paper also calls for more efficient harvesting, storage, and transport. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Sure, there's profit involved in corporate calculations, but sometimes more, too.
I dedicate my time and the time of my team to focus on how we can improve the environment and the community.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Better sales through social responsibility next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street. It's from APM.